Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Power Word Share number 99. We're talking about the characteristics and categories of verbal abuse. We mentioned three of them in the last share. We're going to continue. Another characteristic and category is verbal abuse that's disguised as jokes. Abuse often is disguised as a joke. It's a category. This kind of abuse is not done as a joke. It cuts to the quick. It touches the most sensitive areas. It leaves the abuser with a look of triumph. The abuse never seems funny because it isn't funny. Disparaging comments disguised as jokes. You know, when it's, again, it could go both ways. This book is geared towards the women being abused, but it could go the other way around too. When the women are abused, it's usually jokes about their feminine nature or their intellectual abilities or their competency. If it's the woman that abuses, again, to make jokes about the masculinity or the lack of such and so on and so forth. And if the victim says, I didn't think it was funny, the abuser will angrily discount and say, oh, you just don't have a sense of humor. Or you just can't take a joke. Or you're always so bland or so like a straight arrow. Or, you know, you're just trying to start an argument. It's obvious to people watching that if they would watch this, that the abuser is not trying to make a joke out of any goodwill or interest in the relationship. Just meant to hurt. It's very important. You know, they say if it's the wife that's being abused, you know, what else do you expect from a woman? You know, women and wife jokes are very often disguised forms of abuse, and the other way around also. When women make fun of men, it's the same way. You know, you couldn't find your head if it wasn't attached to you. You know, and then they laugh as if it was a joke. So that's a form of verbal abuse disguised as a joke. Another one is blocking and diverting. When the abuser refuses to communicate, they block. It could also be accusatory, and the purpose is to end the discussion. You just trying to say the last word, you think you know it all, you're full of baloney, you know, who asked you, stop kvetching, all those types of things. So here's an example of blocking. You know, wife asked the husband, you know, I had $40,000 in my bank account and you spend it all on this and that. I want to know what it was spent on. And the husband blocks her attempts to gain information by diverting her to other types of comments. And sometimes the abused doesn't realize that the original topic is no longer the topic. She's diverted. Diverted. That's the idea of diverting. So here's an example of this. When the wife asks and wants to find out what happens with that $40,000. So the abuser, the husband, will say these things which will divert. So here's examples of it. You know, what are you worried about? You still have plenty of money to spend. Or now I'm not going to look through all those receipts that I have to go through to figure out all that. Or, you know, it costs money to stay in business, so stop harassing me about it. You know, I'm not going to try to explain to you how corporate retirement programs are set up. Or he'll say, don't complain to me until you're earning $2,000 a year yourself. Or you just married me for the money. Or you expect me to count every penny, or I'm sick of your complaints. Or here's a good one. It's too complicated for you to understand. All of these are diverting her legitimate question of where did all this money go? Let's discuss it. Let's figure out what happened. That's diverting. Diverting is insidious. The topic changes. And it never answers the victim's question in a thoughtful and considerable way. Another category of verbal abuse is accusing and blaming. The verbal abuser will accuse their victim of some wrongdoing or some breach in the basic agreement, you know, and whatever it is. You have sometimes terrible things like, you know, a wife will say, I'm very tired tonight, when she just doesn't want to be intimate that night. And husband will say, if you're not getting it from me, then where are you getting it from? Accusing her of infidelity. Even if he doesn't mean it, you know, he knows it's not the case. But it's a cruel thing to say. And she's being accused of that and being blamed for the abuser's insecurity. And what he's trying to do is trying to goad her into submitting to him. Following are some abusive, accusing, and blaming statements. You always have the last word. You're always trying to pick a fight. You're looking for trouble. You're attacking me. You can't leave me alone. I had enough of your attacks, and you're kvetching and you're complaining. So that's accusing and blaming. Another category is judging and criticizing. A verbal abuser may judge their spouse and express their judgment in a very critical way. And I say it with spouses, but it applies with employees, employers, and all types of relationships. That will negate their feelings. You're too sensitive. Or statements that begin with, like, the trouble with you is, and so on and so forth. Or your problem is this and this and that. The you statements, most statements that start with you are judgmental and critical and abusive. You cheat. You're never satisfied. You're stupid. You're crazy. You're dumb. Critical statements made about you to others are abusive. When they talk about you that way, you know, she's afraid of her own shadow, or she never sticks to anything, or she never stops nagging to other people, especially in your presence. That's verbal abuse. Another form of verbal abuse is trivializing. Trivializing is saying that whatever you're talking about is insignificant. And, you know, sometimes it's said in a frank and sincere tone, so it's difficult to detect. And if the victim is very trusting, she may listen with an open mind to the abuser's comments and end up being puzzled that maybe he just doesn't understand her or her work or her interests. Trivializing is very subtle, so that the victim is left feeling depressed and frustrated and not sure exactly why. This form of verbal abuse sets up the partner for extra hurt, because feeling a sense of her mate's pleasure and approval of her work, and she's vulnerable to that trivialization of it. Here's an example of trivializing. A wife says, the other day I achieved an effect in my painting I've been striving for. That evening I mentioned to my husband Luke that I finally got my painting to work the way I wanted, and he said in a really sarcastic voice, well, isn't it nice to have something to do in the daytime? And I felt very frustrated. I can never seem to get him to understand how important my work is to me and that it isn't just something I do in the daytime. So trivialization is so confusing because it doesn't recognize it for what it is. She believes that somehow she hasn't been able to explain to her husband how important certain things are to her. And the abuser may feel a one-up because he's putting his partner down, and the partner is kept in that emotional roller coaster. Another category of verbal abuse is undermining. Undermining not only withholds emotional support, but also erodes confidence and determination. For example, the partner says, what a pretty flower. And the spouse will answer back, a flower is a flower. Or, who asked you? Or, nobody asked your opinion. Or, you always have to put your 2 cents in. Or, it's over your head. Or, you'll never make it. Sabotaging is also a way of undermining. So here's an example. A wife said, I felt very good when I told my husband I had thought of a plot of a story I thought I'd like to write. He listened and then said, really, I don't know why anyone would be interested in reading it. And I lost all my enthusiasm for it. Or I had an idea for a diet and health workshop. Day after I told my husband about it, he handed me an article he found and said, this seems to cover all the bases. And this article described everything I was interested in for the workshop, as being ridiculous, as being fanatical in the diet and health. And it felt very strange. And I couldn't get my motivation up anymore or to get through to go about it. So that's sabotaging and undermining. Another category of verbal abuse is threatening. Do what I want or I'll leave. Or I'll get a divorce. Or I'll get really angry. Another category of verbal abuse is name calling. All name callings is verbal abusive. Of course, even saying sweetheart or nice things, that's not verbal abuse. But if it's said with real sarcasm, then it could be abuse as well. Then there is a category of verbal abuse where you quote-unquote forget. That's constantly forgetting promises that's important to their spouse. They purposefully choose to forget or pretend they forget. And they say, I don't know what you're talking about. I never agreed to that. Another category is ordering. They just order their spouse around. Get rid of this. Get in here and clean this up. Shut that off. And so on and so forth. Another is denial. Although all verbal abuse has serious consequences, denial is the most insidious one because it denies the reality of their partner. I never said that. You're making it all up. We never had such a conversation. You're getting upset about nothing. You're crazy. And so on and so forth. So, again, these are not easy shiurim to give. Just going into the nitty-gritties of what verbal abuse could really look like. And one needs to really, sometimes, really catch yourself if you fall into these categories and if you're a victim of it, to really be aware and to wake up with that and to get the help that you need to get. Bracha v'atzlacha.